Our second scripture reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 1. It's found on page 1196 in your pew Bible or up on the screen, starting with verse 2 through verse 12. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously all to all without finding fault, and will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossoms fail, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love him.
Thank you, Jenny. You know, that statement in the title of the message this morning, doesn't seem to always ring true when you're in the middle of a struggle, does it? You know, we in the Christian faith, we have general things we understand, and I believe with all my heart that God does that. I mean, that is taken in essence from Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And I believe it, but when you're going through stuff, it's hard for that to ring at all, isn't it? I believe God can take in our lives the black coffee in our lives. I hate coffee, black coffee, by the way. And he puts French vanilla creamer on it and makes it okay. Now, I know some of you guys like your black coffee, but I'm not one of them. In fact, you ought to be proud of yourselves. Many of you guys are the ones that got me to start drinking coffee, but I had to drink it with stuff in it. Yeah? Okay. Well, it's because I hung with the guys a lot, you know. Or maybe something else would be, you know, I used to hate pretzels. But you put pretzels in snack mix, and they're good. You know? And I will say that even over the years, I used to hate pretzels. Now I at least can eat them on their own when I'm really hungry, and they're okay. Pretzels are okay. But I take those two things, and you can paint your own picture with whatever it is you want to paint it with. And God sometimes makes the things in our life that are unpleasant and we don't like. And if we'll just trust him, he can make it taste a little better. He can make all things good in the end. He does something with what's going on in our lives that can, if we'll allow him to. And I am speaking here, folks, to believers. Because I believe that's a promise for believers. If we'll just trust him and listen to him and obey him. You know, I come into this whole thing this morning with a presupposition, and that is God is holy and perfect. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe God is holy and perfect. Because without that, nothing is guaranteed. We believe this by faith. I take it by faith. I also have another presupposition here about us, and that's the fact that we're not. We have issues. We fall short. We need help. And my life without help is like that black coffee and pretzels, if I could put it that way. I want to look at these texts that were read this morning, text in James and a couple, that weren't, and share with you just a few things that I find that God gives us as believers help that is provided. And I think this is pretty cool. If you're a believer, these are the kinds of things that he gives you. Now, you start right out with that first verse in James chapter 1. And I have to even pause when I read that first verse because, again, here we are. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? Sounds stupid, doesn't it? It sounds kind of idiotic, doesn't it, to the world up there? Consider it pure joy when you're having trials. Hello, most of our life we're trying to spend our time working around those things, not trying to get through those things. We want to avoid them if we can, don't we? But he tells us that a lot of the trials that we go through in our life do something for us, teach us something, don't they? In James 1, I can face trials, and I will, you will, we all will. Varying kinds of trials, they're different for everyone, but we all face trials. But know that when you're facing trials, you're not alone. That's important to note. When you're facing a trial, you're not alone. You may feel alone, and you may feel lonely, but I want to assure you that God is there. He's never left you. He's never forsaking you. He's reaching out. Just listen. Talk to him. He's there. James goes on in those same verses, in verses 3 and 4 in that text, and he tells us these tests, these trials, these difficulties that we have to go through, they develop perseverance in my faith. Because you know what? Another one's coming down the road. Hello, people. Life doesn't go like this. Life is isn't it? But we have faith in Jesus Christ. It's less like this, and it's more like this. Hopefully, over time, it's going up a little bit like this, too, as we get closer and stronger with Him, because some of these tests that we have in our lives, some of these trials we have in our lives, perseverance is developed, and God has come through because we made it, didn't we? You're here this morning. You've made it thus far. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, you're still here and you're still breathing, right? Put your hand in front of you. You are breathing. We're alive. So at least there's that much to give thanks to God for. But I believe there's so much more. In the same James text that we read, he says, if you don't have any wisdom, then ask for it. And he'll give it to you. It's right there. I didn't make it up. What God provides when you and I ask, half the time we won't even ask. I lack wisdom, and when I ask, that is provided by God in verse 5, James chapter 1. I doubt. Do you doubt sometimes? You doubt God. You doubt decisions you make. You doubt so many things. But even in doubt, we can come to Him and ask Him, and the Lord will help us. There's another text didn't read this morning because there was too much to read anyway, and I wouldn't be able to share anything with you if you read too many texts, so I didn't read it. Philippians 3, verse 7, 8, and 9. Here's some other things that are provided to you and me as believers in Jesus Christ that help us to understand that He can make all things good. In verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What he's saying there, in essence, I valued temporal things. Now they don't have so much value because I value something else. And we need to learn that one. We live in a world where temporal things are so valued. We put such value in all those things. I mean, the advertisements on TV, they're all about helping you, you know, get more stuff so you can be happier with your life or whatever the case is. But in this text, in Philippians 3, verse 7, God is helping us to see that these things that are a part of my life that are so temporal, they really aren't that valuable. I consider them rubbish. I consider them garbage compared to what? Knowing Jesus Christ. When I lose this stuff and its value, I gain Christ, in verse 8. people who are near the end of their life understand that one a little better, don't they? Because when you're sitting in a hospital bed and someone says you're dying, it doesn't matter what you got, does it? It doesn't matter whether you have the nicest car in the lot. It doesn't matter whether you have a really nice home or a whole bunch in the bank. None of that stuff matters at all when you find yourself in that kind of state of mind and place. I wish we'd feel more that way earlier than that. Because then I think we'd also see how much there is out there we can do with the temporal things we have and give them eternal value. When I can show someone I love them by helping them out in some way, what am I attempting to do? In some way, I'm taking the material stuff I have and hoping that over time that maybe I can show that person the love of Jesus Christ. I lost stuff and I gained Christ. Look at that help. I had my own righteousness, although I probably should say unrighteousness, and then I gained His righteousness. He says that in verse 9 of chapter 3 of Philippians. Because, you know, mine falls far short. So we're close to what His is. And yet you and I find ourselves comparing ourselves to other people and thinking our righteousness is better than theirs. You know what? Ours is filthy rags compared to God, the perfect one. I am unrighteous and He is righteous. And in Jesus Christ, I gain His righteousness. 10 and 11 of Philippians 3 says, I died with Christ and I will rise with Him. I love that promise. I died with Christ and I will rise with Him. Go to Luke, just a couple verses in Luke here in chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. It says, I must deny myself to follow Christ. We don't understand that one real well. The next one in the next verse says something very similar to it. It says, I must lose my life so Christ can save it. We are so self-oriented in the world. And even as Christians, we are sometimes so self-oriented. And He's saying, get self out of the way. Because when you get self out of the way, Christ can really work. When you put Him on the throne, because you know who you're putting on the throne, you're thinking about yourself? It's you. There's no room for Christ on the throne. There's not room for two of us. Either He's on the throne or I'm on the throne. And He says, I can help you. If you lose yourself to gain me. And when you gain me, you find yourself. Acts 13, I'll end with a couple more. Acts 13:38, here's what He gives us too. This one probably should have been right at the very top. I need to repent of my sin and He forgives. I need to share with Him my mess. I need to tell Him, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for I have sinned. And He's ready to forgive before we even ask. You know that? Isn't that cool? Before we even ask. And you know what? God even knew He did it before we did it. Forgiveness was available. He says, just ask. Because in that process of asking, when I repent of my sin and ask Him to forgive me, what am I attempting to do? I am attempting to say, God, I want to turn away from whatever it is I was doing and do what You want me to do instead. This is what He provides. I repent, He forgives. 39th verse of that same text in chapter 13 of Acts says, I am guilty, but He acquits. I like that one too. Even though you and I are guilty, we're acquitted. Someone had to pay, but it wasn't me. Jesus paid. It's that whole courtroom kind of imagery there, isn't it? That someone had to pay because God is a just God and Jesus is the one who paid, but I am acquitted of all guilt. Jesus took it upon Himself. That's several of many things that God provides to us to help us in whatever it is that we're going through in life that may be yucky, crappy, yucky kind of stuff. And yet, if we'll trust Him with it all, He can make some good out of all that. He does make all things good if we'll just trust Him. So you can take the yuck in your life, that black coffee, and put some French vanilla creamer on it. It tastes a little better, even though there's still some coffee there. Or that snack mix, you know. At one point, I just took out all the pretzels. That has too much work. They aren't that bad in the snack mix. But Jesus can make it taste a little better. It doesn't mean you're in denial that life has some distaste in it. Let me share with you an example from my own life, and you already know what my example is, but let me share it with you because this is what I mean when I'm talking about God makes all things good. It's my mom. She has Alzheimer's. I find myself sometimes when I go to see her concentrating on what's going on with her right now. And it's kind of yucky. Mom doesn't know me. Rarely. If she does, I might be someone else. And I look at the present circumstances she's going right now, and it causes me sometimes to forget and even lose a little bit of the memories that I've had of Mom when Mom was well. You know, when I could go to Mom when I had a struggle and I knew I had a listening ear to go to, and she would have some Christian advice that she could give me, and I would have all that stuff because Mom was with it. And 3-4 years in now, I forget that sometimes because I'm so much in the present. The present circumstances that aren't really good. But I find myself when I get that way saying, but God, you are God. My mother loves you because you first loved her. And she's got a blessed future ahead of her, even though the present kind of stinks. I mean, whoever thought that your mother would have to wear diapers and all that kind of stuff, you know? But I try to apply these things that are here in the Bible that are told of me and told of her and told all of us. And I still say, in the midst of all that my mom is going through and the fact that my mom has Alzheimer's, God makes all things good for those who are believers in Jesus Christ. And I mean that with all of my heart. And I'm not mad at God for my mom having Alzheimer's. I think it's developed character and perseverance in my own life. It's caused our family to even be close. We were already close. Well, we're closer. I think what it may actually do for my kids and grandkids is maybe it's going to make them more aware of what goes on in life, and that you can make it through life with some of the crap that goes on and still give glory and honor to God. Because I believe that God makes all things good if we'll just give Him a chance and obey Him. Even something like that. Look beyond our present circumstances. When life gets tough, maybe we can remember what Carrie Underwood says in the old song, Jesus, take the wheel. Because He provides that for us, doesn't He? Perhaps, and I'll end with this, what I want to help us to understand as the Church of Jesus Christ is that we can help others to understand that God makes all things good by the way that we live into their situations, too. Fellowship can be sweet, can't it? And when people are going through struggles in their life, they need some sweet fellowship. They need to know that there are people that love them and care for them and listen to them and maybe even put up with grumpy days and questions that we can't answer. Perhaps the church can be, and I will always preach just this to the day I die, transparency can be freeing. I wish the church could be more transparent. I wish that people could come into this church and say, I'm struggling with this. Would you pray for me? And there wouldn't be people in the church saying, yeah, you don't know what else that dude did. It's horrible. Why would they do something like that? Or do you hear about her? What she did? Instead, we could come to the church and say, I blew it. I failed. And I want you to pray for me. And no one would say something awful about it. Instead, they would just gather around and say, you pray for me too, because I struggle with something as well. I wish the church could be that transparent. But you know, there are still a lot of people in church today that once those doors open, they come in the door, they go like this.
Isn't it just wonderful? Everything's great. You know?
A lot of times they're miserable. But they're afraid. They're afraid that if they tell someone that, then they're going to think less of them as a Christian or whatever the case may be. I wish the church would be totally transparent. Because in transparency, I think people can get to the point where they can understand that God makes all things good. Because the good that comes out of that transparency is, man, I know I can go there. And even though I have an issue, and it may be an issue that God doesn't like, He and they love me anyway. And we'll work through this together. God gives us unconditional love, and I pray the church would always give us unconditional love. It's just what we need. And lastly, so that people would understand that God makes all things good as we trust Him, that instead of judgment, we would encourage people to just walk closer to the Lord. You know? Instead of whacking them over the head, we could say, you know what? Join me in this journey. And let's see how close we can get. Because the closer you get to the Lord, the more at peace and the more joy that you're going to end up having. So I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart for believers in Jesus Christ that God does make all things good. Amen? Amen. Let's close our time together with a hymn that I think kind of shares that in light of the gentleman who wrote it. In spite of the horrible thing that happened to his family as he lost his family out at sea, he writes this hymn. It's still good with my soul. Even with all the other things that have happened, God will make all things good. Would you stand with me as we sing?